إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at the lessons from Surah Al-Hujurat, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعْرَفُوا إِنَّا أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this ayah, very famous ayah of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about the whole concept of universalism. Islam is the only religion which declares itself to be universal. The God of Islam and the real God of all creation, the creator of all creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Rabbul Alameen. He's not Rabbul Muslimin. The messenger of this Rabbul Alameen is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. He's not Rahmatul Lil Muslimin. And the kitab, the book that he brought, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Hudal Lin Nas. It is guidance for all of mankind. So Islam is a religion which declares itself to be universal in its approach and universal in its nature. And in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that once more, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O you who believe, we have created you from one person, from one male and one female, Adam alayhi salam and our mother Hawa alayhi salam, and made you into nations and tribes. Why? لِتَعَارَفُ, so that you may know one another, so that you may recognize one another. The word recognize has several meanings. One is to recognize, as in, here is Ali Abdullah, I know him. But recognition also means appreciation. You recognize somebody who has done something well, so he is given a gift, or he is given a medal, or he is given something. So recognition is not only pointing to a name, but also expressing appreciation for Ali Abdullah and for whoever I am recognizing, and saying that this is my brother, I honor him, I love him, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allah has made all of you, so again universality, which is that the root is only the same father and the same mother. Whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are Chinese, whether you are Japanese, whether you are anything, same father, same mother. Why then are you black and white and Spanish and so forth? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we made you like that. We made you into different tribes, we made you into different nations, we made you into different races. Why? So that you may appreciate one another. Today, one of the biggest, not just today, for as long as human beings have forgotten the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, racism is one of the biggest cancers and evils of humanity. Yeah. And may Allah forgive us, Muslims are as racist as anybody else. It's an absolute shame, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said very clearly that there is no racism in Islam. But we are as racist as anybody else. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and he wiped out racism. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the biggest symbol of this is, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu, who was Abyssinian, black African, to climb on top of the Kaaba and call the Adhan. People objected. People said, what is the need? Why is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam putting they said black crow on top of the Kaaba? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did is as a matter of his own, is not his own ijtihad, it is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why he did. Now, racism is the root cause of all evil. And in the Quran, Allah has mentioned racism. Where is the racism mentioned in the Quran? With regard to Iblis, Shaitan. What was the reason that Iblis gave of not making sujood to Adam alayhi salam when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to make sujood? What was the reason he gave? He said, Ana khayrun minhu. خلقتني من نار وخلقته من طين. Racism. He said, my race is superior to his race. He said, I am made from fire and you made me from fire and you made him from clay. And that racism landed Iblis in Jahannam forever. So all his knowledge and everything else and the of knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all his ibadah and everything else does not help him because it brings in arrogance. Racism is arrogance. All kinds of racism. May Allah forgive us. This is the nature of humanity. I mean, and you might say, well, you know, the whites are the most racist, and probably you are right, but there are people of all colors and all nations who are as racist as anybody else. We always look down on somebody else. And the Muslims are equally bad in this. Yeah. So really seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, on what basis do we do this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very specifically that there is no racism in Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, but the superiority before Allah. So when you are saying there is no racism and everyone is equal on the basis of being human. So as people, we are equal. But among people, there are darajat. And these darajat are based on what? On taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum faqat. With Allah, the most honored of you is the one who has the greatest taqwa. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honored among you is the one who has the greatest and most taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that inna allaha alimun khabir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything and he is aware of everything. Now, my question is that very important for us to also think about that it's fine to say that taqwa, but who knows what is taqwa? Who knows who has how much taqwa? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a criterion for the superiority of one person over another person, which only Allah can know. Because taqwa is first and foremost a state of the heart. Right? First and foremost, taqwa is a state of the heart. This taqwa is manifested in our actions. So a muttaqi person behaves differently from a person who does not have taqwa. But the actual state of... But if you look at the actions alone, it still does not tell you taqwa. For example, you might say, a muttaqi person will pray salah regularly on time. But in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the munafiqeen also used to pray salah regularly. They were also in the first saf with takbir awla. And that is the complete opposite of people with taqwa. Not only did they not have taqwa, these people were enemies of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But they were praying. You might say giving charity is a sign of taqwa, which is true. But also you might find people giving charity who are giving it to show off. And this is not acceptable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might say fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jihad fi sabilillah, is a sign of taqwa. But in the battle of Uhud, somebody came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, so and so is fighting, and surely he's fighting very courageously and very bravely and so on, and surely he is from the people of Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is from the people of Jahannam. Ajib, and it is a man fighting the enemies of the Muslims and he is fighting well, bravely, he's not running away. Somebody says, Ya Rasulullah, surely he's from the people of Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no, he's from the people of Jahannam. So one of the Sahaba, they followed him. He said, why did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say this? They followed him all day and they found that in the evening, the man was wounded and so on, maybe because of pain, Allah knows what, the man committed suicide. He put his sword and he fell on his sword and he killed himself. And we know what happens to. If you commit suicide, then you are in Jahannam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew this thing, that this is what is going to happen to you. So any action that we see in another person is insha'Allah a sign of taqwa. We believe the best about our brothers and sisters, but there is no guarantee. The only time you will know and I will know whether we had taqwa is when we meet Malakul Maut. At that point in time, we will know whether our actions were accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And that's the reason the Sahaba used to do good deeds and they would be afraid of that. They would do good deeds, but they would fear. Did Allah accept my deed or not? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, huwa samad. Allah does not need anything. He does not need your and my worship. Allah does not need charity. Where is the question of giving charity? This is the rahmah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he says spend in the path of Allah. Where is the question of spending in the path of Allah? What you are spending doesn't belong to you in the first place. Allah gave it to you. So spend what? This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I gave it to you, give a little bit here, I will give you Jannah. So if somebody is saying, no, I am doing so much of charity, that is nonsense. Because what charity? What you are giving doesn't belong to you in the first place. You are giving in the path of Allah, Allah gave it to you in the first place. So if I give you something, give it back to me, that's charity? How is it charity? Yeah, so Allah karam, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy on people, that Allah opens doors and he gives us excuses to earn his pleasure. So the Sahaba used to be afraid when they did something good, they would fear, did Allah accept this or not? Because they understood that wealth belongs to Allah. The wealth I have is with me in trust. So now I have spent some of this wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but did Allah accept this? Is that where Allah wanted me to spend it? A man comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I am in great need and so on and so forth. So please help me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go to Uthman bin Affan radhiyallahu anhu and tell him I sent you. So this man goes to Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan radhiyallahu anhu's house. Now as he nears, it's starting to get dark. So as he nears the house, he's standing outside the door, he's going to knock on the door. He hears Sayyidina Uthman's voice from inside, and Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu is saying to his wife, put down the wick of the lamp, it is burning too much of oil. So this man thinks, now, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me to this man. His man is worried about how much oil is burning in the lamp. What will he give me? What kind of man is this? He's worried about how much oil is burning in the lamp. What kind of heart has he got? What will he give me? So he turned around. He started going back. After he walked a few paces, he thought to himself, well, whatever it is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me, so let me go and, knock on the door and see what happens. So he goes there, knocks on the door, says, and Uthman opens the door. The man says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent me. He said, why? He said, because I am in need. Sayyidina Uthman said, okay, hold on, wait. He went inside, got some keys, took him to his storehouse, his warehouse. He opened the door. He told the man, take whatever you want. When you are finished, bring the keys. He opened the door. He said, take whatever you like, as much as you want. And when you are finished, lock it and bring the keys. And he walked off. So this man went running behind him. He says, hold on. He said, I want to understand something. He said, what? He said, I just came a little bit earlier to your house and I overheard this conversation. You're telling your wife to put down the wick of the lamp, so the lamp is burning too much of oil. Now when I come to you, you open the warehouse, you tell me, take whatever you want. What is this? You are stingy or you are generous or what? Explain this. Said Rasman said, very simple, that oil is my personal thing which I am spending on myself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for it. This I am spending in the path of Allah, Allah will reward me for this. What's the confusion? There's no confusion. So take as much as you take, that is reward for me. But the oil Allah will question it. Imagine, see the taqwa of the Sahaba, he's thinking about this little two drops of oil. Allah will question, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he will question. Illa mashallah, if Allah doesn't want to question, alhamdulillah, we ask Allah to give us Jannah without question, inshallah. But Allah said he will question. So the default condition is, yes, questioning, unless Allah forgives. So I remind myself and you, let us try to develop this taqwa, because that is the only thing before Allah. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So develop the taqwa, which starts with the niyyah, and then we go forward from there to the actions. And then we do the action and we make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, Allah, I just prayed Salatul Fajr. But did Allah accept it? Allah knows. Inshallah, Allah accepted. We ask Allah to accept. But can somebody say definitely my salah is accepted? No, we can't say that. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our ibadat. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.